Well, here we are, another year at camp, huh?
Looking forward to it.
Are you enjoying the sword drills and all the things you can win up here, huh? Isn't that a great time? We'll have another one here at the end of the service, and we'll go through everybody again. But, my own personal, I just want to say something that I'm so thankful this year. I'm enjoying camp. I'm going to be up here as much as I can, which is probably most of the time, just hanging out with you guys. Last year, I couldn't do it. I had such back problems, I couldn't walk. And it is such a blessing to be able to just be able to walk around camp, go anywhere I want to go. And I just tell you, I just really, really, really enjoying it. And it's a real blessing to me because we have, when I was in the hospital, there was a sweet nurse there by the name of Jennifer who took care of me and just was the sweetest little nurse you could ever want. She got to be good friends with my daughters and Barb, and we're so happy to have her daughter with us tonight to come to camp this week. And, you know, your mom was so good to me and so special to me, and I know I gave you free concessions all week long at the Chuck Wagon, but I want to bring her up here. I want to do something more special for you. I'm going to give you a Vera Bradford. You like that one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's from me to you. Tell your mom I love her very much, okay? I love you. Thank you for coming to camp. We love you very much, okay? That's from me to you. You don't even have to have a Bible verse. You know, this week, going to all be about you. It's going to be about every one of you here. And this is a great crowd. Our camp gets bigger every year. I mean, everything is set up for it. I'm really excited about it. But my goal is to help you understand and develop yourself to your full potential. That's what I want to do. We just got 4 days to do it. You're going to be having teaching in the mornings, and everything is kind of geared around the Word of God, and then I'm going to be speaking and preaching to you at night. But we just got 4 short days to get some things done that I want to accomplish. You know, there's many aspects to my ministry, if you kind of look at and spread it all out. I mean, there's 1,000 pieces to it. But the bottom line is this. What God has called me to do is to take young men and young ladies and train them in the Word of God to be what God wants them to be. If you would look at our church compared to most churches, and this is not a criticism, but it's just the truth. Most churches, everybody in it is 75 years and older. It's like a dinosaur graveyard. Everybody's waiting to die. You don't find many churches like ours where there's so many young men and young ladies. And the reason for that is that that's been my life. My life has been to take young men and young ladies, much like yourselves, watch you grow up, give you all the tools that you need, and help you become everything that God wants you to be. And I want to start that process in many of your young lives to this week and then carry it on from there. You know, my whole life has been given to young men and young ladies who want to be what God wants them to be. I'm here with you this week, but you probably never thought about this. Maybe, but many of your moms and dads, your parents were just kids your age when God gave them to me. You're sitting around here with people like Nicole Brackeen, who's married to Steve. Steve's not here, but he's a deacon in our church. He's a very stable part, him and his wife, but he was 14 years old when I first met him at a camp just like this. You know, John and Pam Bisquette, you know, I knew them, and John just got out of the Marine Corps, and Pam had just gotten saved and come out of the world, and they were just kids when I first met them. You know, we got Phil and Barb Christie here, and they're working with you in counselors, but Phil and Barb, when Barb Christie first came into my world, she was just a 19-year-old, 20-year-old girl. I mean, she wasn't even married to Phil, didn't even know Phil. And they were in my world. And Phil came in, and, you know, and he got saved, and it just went on from there. You know, all of you know Jan and John Hill in our church. Jan and John Hill went all the way back with me when I was in my college class years and years and years ago. You know, and yes, Jan was just as goofy back then as she is today, but she's, you know, but we love her anyhow. And it was a thing where Jan was a fearless witness. Jan would witness to anybody. And she's a great gal, and I love her very much. You know, Gene and Diane Geisinger, I knew them. All of these people I'm talking about, I married them years and years and years ago. If you look at their wedding pictures, I would be. Had more hair, you know. Sometimes I had a mustache, sometimes I didn't. For a while there, I even had a full beard, you know, and it's on some of those pictures. I did that to throw everybody off. But it's a thing where, you know, John and Sharon Gowans were another one. Our church is filled with it. Penny Hansinger. Penny came in here just a little bit ago. Penny's been with me forever. I mean, just forever. Ever and ever and ever. And, you know, and now I've got you. Now I've got you. Your moms and dads are what they are today because of what we did with them way back before you were ever even born. God worked in their life, and now they're part of the ministry here with me, being my co-laborers working with me, and many others who have come in that maybe don't go back as far but are just as vital to what I do. And I want tonight to get you to see how, as a young person, how valuable you are to not only the Lord, but to my church, our church, the work that God has given us to do here. And I want tonight to get you to see that. Now, the theme this week is missions and missionaries. You got the shirt, go unto all the world. The theme this week is for you to understand about missionaries and missions. And you will have, I know the guys and the gals are doing this throughout the week, you're going to have some great stories and some great lessons on some great missionaries. And as I said yesterday, most people don't understand what missionaries are really all about. We think that they have to be to a foreign field to be a missionary. No, 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 no. Everybody here, if you're saved, is a missionary. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to do a little something here. I'm going to start with one guy that I know, then I'm going to work down a crowd. Where's Riley at? Riley, where are you? Where's Riley? Stand up. Were you sleeping, Riley? I'm going to slap you if you were sleeping. Okay. Now, you play baseball, right? And you invited a couple of your guys to play. Have them stand up. I want to meet them. Okay, now I heard a couple. Who's the pitcher? Okay, you and me are good buddies. You know why? Because I'm a pitcher, too. And I hear you're really a good pitcher. I'm really a good pitcher. So you and I are buddies. Where's my catcher? You probably know this is true. The anchor point of any baseball team is the catcher. It is. Everything, the money in the banks costs home plate. And you may have a good outfielder out there, but when push comes to shove and somebody's heading for home and they're going to take you off the plate, it's the guts that you got to hold that line to stand on that plate and take them out, right? I see. And you're the kind of guy I can tell that would do that. I'm glad you guys both camped. Now, you invited somebody else. Who else came with you? Okay, you're not on the ball team, are you? Okay, you're friends with brothers? Oh, great. Well, thank you guys for being here. And I just stand up for a minute. Who else tonight invited somebody else to come to camp? Okay. Okay, who'd you invite? Have them stand up. You did? Okay, who'd you invite?
I invited Talia, Layla.
Real loud, we can't hear you.
Talia, Layla, and Emma.
Okay, and who'd you bring? Have them stand up, please. Okay, everybody keep standing up who brought somebody. Anybody else invite? No, who'd you bring, honey? Oh, stand up, honey. Who did you bring over here, honey?
Chloe.
Good to have you. Stand up. Who'd you bring?
Michaela.
Stand up. Anybody else? Logan, who'd you bring? Have them stand up. This is not a place to be shy. Everybody stand up. Come on. Are you guys all from Lincoln, too?
No, these two are from Los Angeles.
From where?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
LA.
All right. Who'd you bring? Okay, everybody keep standing up. I'm not done yet. Anybody else bring anybody? Who'd you bring, honey? Stand up. Stand up. Anybody else bring anybody? Okay. Now, you guys are going to prove my point because you're going to learn about some great missionaries tomorrow and throughout the week. But I want to tell you right now, the greatest missionaries in the world for me are you folks because you are with the people you brought. You're missionaries. That's what missionaries do. You brought your friends. You brought your teammates. You brought the people that are your friends and you love. That's what missionaries do. And you can talk about all the great missionaries, and you will this week, and I want you to learn from it. But I want everybody to understand, this is New Testament missions. Somebody said one time that soul winning is nothing more than one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And that is so true. And you cared enough about these guys and these gals, you love them enough, that you wanted them to be here with you this week. And that means a lot to me. So I don't care who you study about this week, what great missionaries in the past, I want to tell you something. The greatest missionaries to me today are standing right in this room with the people you brought. And I love you for it. You may sit down. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about. That's what missions is. And as I said, the theme this week is going to be about missionaries and missions. We have our teams who go to Lincoln, Alpha Team, Bravo Team, Charlie Team, Delta Team. And that's missions. Going up to another city. It doesn't matter whether we go to Lincoln or whether we go to Washington State like we do or wherever we go. Missions is you giving of yourself to somebody else with the mission that God has entrusted to you. Missionaries are not people who go to foreign lands. Missionaries are men and women who have the mission from God in their heart to take it to somebody else. Doesn't matter where you go. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And I want to thank you for that great testimony tonight, because I don't know if you noticed or not, but if you'd have taken out those people that you invited, our camp wouldn't be as nearly as big as it is. You already grasp the concept of missions, and I want to thank you for that. One of the things that we're going to do this week is we're going to regroup with our teams to Lincoln. I want to strengthen them up. We lost some people through last year. We knew it was going to happen. You know, the world comes back in, everything happens, you go home from camp, you're all fired up. 3-4 weeks later, the world starts to creep back in, and things that are important to you this week suddenly aren't important anymore. We want to build up our teams with men and women, young people who want to go and be missionaries with the message that God has given them. And we'll be talking about that this week, because all the teams are here. You know, the wisest man that ever lived said one time, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Right now, whether you know it or not, right now is the most crucial time in your young life. Right now is the absolutely the most crucial time in your life, because you're standing, many of you, at a crossroads. This week will be a decisive week for you. This week may well determine which way you go the rest of your life. This week may well determine whether you go eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. This week may determine if you're already a Christian, whether you're going to serve God the rest of your life and be God's missionary, or you're going to do your own thing and never give God the time of day after he did everything that he done for you. It's going to be an incredible thing. And that verse says that right now, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, when you still say, I don't want anything to do with the world. That will change. That will change. As you get older, that will change. The older we get without God, the farther we get away from God, till we completely shut him out. And I want to talk to you today for just a little bit out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. So I want you to turn there if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 9 through 13. We talked about some of this yesterday, but I just didn't do the whole verse because I was saving it for tonight. But Paul and Timothy is a great example in the Bible. They've always been a model for me with the young men and the young ladies that I have invested my life with. Paul took Timothy in, he won him to Christ, and he trained him for the ministry. Many of you got saved under my ministry, and we are training you now for the ministry, the mission that God has for you. And it's always been a great thing for me. You know, the last thing that Paul writes is 2 Timothy. He dies shortly after that. They kill him. And it always impressed me that the last thing that he was thinking of before he went home to be with the Lord was the young men, and I'm sure the young ladies, that God had put in his world that he had trained. And what an incredible thing it must have been for him. What an incredible satisfaction it must have been knowing the fact that he's going home to be with the Lord, but he has left his replacement. Now, I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. Yesterday, I talked about the six things that I want to build in you this week. We talked about the Word of God, your conversation. We talked about charity. We talked about your spirit. We talked about faith, and we talked about being pure, the purity. And I want to begin reading this, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Josh, would you stand up and ask God's blessing on the service tonight?
Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this camp that these kids can just have a Bob the words to say and hit us where we need to be hit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now he says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in a living God who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, and be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then verse 13, and this is what I want to preach on tonight. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now I want to give you three things that I want you to take home with you, and I want you to begin to work on this week. We'll help you, no matter where you live, we'll help you with this. We'll stay in touch with you. We'll do everything we can. He starts out by saying, let no man despise thy youth. I said this yesterday. Young people have a peculiar ability to be a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. People look at you. When Bible colleges want to enlist people to come to their school, they want to go into churches and they want to show the churches that, boy, they have an absolute premier program that just trains up good, wholesome young men. So you know what they'll do? They'll get a bunch of good-looking young men and young ladies, and they'll put them into a singing group. And they'll travel around the churches, and they'll get up, and they'll sing, and they'll display, and they'll talk about the school. And everybody in there will say, boy, I want my child to be just like that. So obviously the punchline is send your kid to this school, and they'll turn out like these kids. But people want kids to do what's right. They want them to look good. They want them to act right. They're impressed by that. You have the ability, if you let God use you in your life, to be a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that. And, the reason why many men coach Little League and football and get so involved in it is because they're experiencing through you, the kids who play, what they once had. And they see that in you. You know, you have a great opportunity to be a witness for the Lord as a young person. And the real key thing is the devil knows that too. And he wants to stop you. And I'm going to tell you, God wants to do some things this week, but the devil wants to do some things to stop it. And you have to guard some things this week. You have to guard your attitudes. You're going to get tired, you're going to get finicky, you're going to get fussy, you're going to not get enough sleep at night, the person next to you is going to keep you awake all night. Slap them, that's what I would do, and make them go to sleep. You have to guard your attitude that nobody or nothing takes from you what God wants you to have, because I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is going to walk up and down these aisles this week, and he's going to look over your shoulder at what you're doing and what you're thinking, and he's going to touch your heart. But right behind him is going to be the devil. You're going to see a little skit this week that I think is one of the most profound skits that I've ever seen. And it's simply based on a little song, This Little Light of Mine. And it's one of, if anything is an example of what the devil is going to try to do to you. So pay attention. What day are you going to do that?
Thursday night.
Thursday night?
Yeah.
Oh, super. Thursday night. Well, I'm going to be here. Thursday night. That's great. It's one of the most profound things I ever saw. This is what's going to happen. You need to guard that. The devil is going to walk up and down these aisles just like the Lord's Holy Spirit of God is, and he's going to try to get your attention off of what I'm saying. He's going to try to get your attitude. He's going to try to get you to want to go home and want to leave and get your nose bent out of joint because somebody wasn't nice to you or somebody didn't say something to you or, the girls over here aren't being friendly to me. Something's going to happen this week. It never fails at camp. I see it all the time. And you've got to come to the place where you realize that he's going to be after every young man and young lady he can get. Just as I'm coming after you for the things of God, he's coming after you for the things of the world. And many of you are going to have to make a choice. Many are going to be faced with that decision this week of what you're really going to do for the Lord or what you're not going to do for the Lord. And it's a thing where it's going to be a very good week for some of you. I remember back, and I taught you last year the book of Daniel, how that Daniel was taken out of his home, captive, into Babylon. And he's put in a situation where he's 600-700 miles from home. And he loses everything, his family, nothing. And he's thrown in a situation that is terrible. And he has given all of the things of the godless world of Babylon to try to change him from being God's young man to a young man in Babylon with all of the filth that went on. Daniel didn't let it happen. Daniel is one of the most courageous young men that shows what the definition of character is, which we're going to preach on here one night this week. He's incredible. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You know what you're going to have to do this week? You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to purpose in your heart that you're going to be what God wants you to be. You're going to have to start right there. You have to start with that. Start with that. And you know what? He says, he says in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, be thou an example of the believer in word, in charity, in faith. We talked about these yesterday. In conversation, in spirit, in purity. Now, I'm going to give you three things that you need to do that he talks about at the end of this verse. Three things that I want you to begin to work on this week, and we will build them in your life. And they'll work for you. They work for me. They've worked for your moms and dads. They've worked for many of the older young men in here that have really sold their lives out to the Lord. And it'll work for you. He says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance. Notice he didn't say give attention, like pay attention. He said give attendance. Do these things. Put these things in your life. Don't just pay attention and listen to it. Be in attendance. Do it. Do these three things and be in attendance to these three things. And you'll be everything God wants you to be. You know what he says? He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And I want to talk about those three things tonight. I want to talk about giving attendance to reading. Reading God's word. The Bible is God's gift to you. When God went back to heaven, he gave us the word of God. Complete word of God. It's the way that God speaks to us. When you pray, you pray to God and you speak to him. When you read your Bible, God then speaks back to you. People get weird ideas of how, you know, God gives them answers for things. You know, I had a person one time that said, you know what, I had a question from God that I was really struggling with what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And she says, I was driving down the freeway and I looked up and there on the billboard was the answer that I was looking for. She actually thought that God put the answer in a billboard. God doesn't put the answer in a billboard. Devil will put the answer in a billboard, but God won't. I've had people say, well, you know what? I've got a decision to make for God. I'll just kind of throw it out here, and I'll just do this, and if God does this, then I'll know, and if God doesn't do it, then that's not the way to do it either. When you pray, you talk to God. When you read the Bible, God speaks to you. God will only answer you through the Word of God. I have people all the time, you know, they get into really tough situations, bad problems in their life. They're upset, nervous, anxiety, you know, all that stuff. And I'll say to them when they come in and talk to me, I always ask them, I'll say, well, are you reading the Word of God? Are you in the Bible? Oh, no, I am much too nervous. I can't focus on that. I just can't do that. They think like that they're going to drive down the road, a jet's going to be flying over, and a pilot's going to go out of control, and his vapor trail from God is going to spell out the answer that he wants him to do. The only way you're going to get an answer to the issues in your life is to read your Bible. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading. You have to read your Bible. You have to begin to read it. You have to begin to go through that Bible and just read it. It's just that simple. And one of the things that you do about the Bible when you read it, one of the things that you have to do in your life is examine yourself. You have to look at your real motive. You have to look at who you really are, what you're really asking for God for. Why are you in the situation you're in? You have to examine yourself. And the Bible is the only book that will allow you to do that. You know why? Because when you start to read the Bible, when you start to open up those sacred pages and read the Bible, you know what? The Bible begins to read you. Bible says it discerns the thoughts and intents of our hearts. That Bible, Holy Spirit of God, will look deep inside you and find out what's really going on. And that's the real reason why most people won't go to the Bible. They want to solve their problems. They just don't want to do it the Bible way. They want to do it another way that always leaves them an option. When you read your Bible, the Bible will not leave you any options other than God's options. And that's all you really need. So he says, till I come, give attendance to reading. Reading the Word of God. Way back in the 1970s, there was a guy, I know none of you know who this is. His name was Charles Jones. He was a popular guy who was a motivational speaker. In fact, they called him Charles Tremendous Jones. And he would go into great crowds of people, and he was a great motivational speaker. Many of the pastors of the day, I can remember them saying this, many of the pastors of the day, and this guy wasn't even saved, many of the pastors of the day hitchhiked off of what he said. He said one time, trying to motivate people to be better, he said, you will be 5 years from today exactly who you are now except for the people that you meet and the books that you read. And he was telling people that you expand who you are by the books that you read, which I get, and the people that you meet. You broaden your horizon. I understand, but that's the world looking at it. And I would hear pastors get up there and use that. And they would say, you will be exactly today what you were 5 years from now, except for the people you meet and the book. It sounded great. I stole that saying and I changed it. And I've been saying it ever since the 1970s. You will be 5 years from today exactly who you are now, except for the book you read and the person that you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. You get to know him. You see, when you study your Bible, you learn your Bible. You learn about your Bible. But when you read your Bible, you learn about the author of the Bible. A lot of people know the Bible, but they've never really met the author of the Bible. They don't read it. They study it, but they don't read it. You need to have time in your life where you just sit down and you open up that book and you just read it. Start in Psalms. Psalms is an easy place to start. Start in John, the Gospel of John. Just follow the story of what's happening. Just follow along with it. And it's a thing where, you know, you read it for yourself. And sometimes you want to read it back to God. Opening up your spirit to the Word of God. God's answers to everything in life will only be found by reading the Word of God. And the Bible says, Paul said to young Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading. Then the second thing he says, till I come, give attention to reading. Then he says to exhortation. Now, exhortation is a big word. It simply means to preach the Bible, to talk about the Bible, to lay out the Bible. So we talk about, number one, reading the book. Number two, exhortation, preaching the book. You see, when you read it and study it and you get the Word of God inside you, then you need to do something with it. You know, the church, the Christian life is three things. The Christian life first will be Godward. That's your relationship with God. The second aspect of your Christian life will be inward. That is what you do with God in your own life. And based on Godward and inward, then the third aspect of the Christian life will be outward. What do you do with others? The giving of others. When you go through Ephesians chapter 6, that great chapter that talks about the armor of God that you put on, that you might be able to do what God's called you to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it says, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ought to have, if you're a Christian, at this stage of your life, and many of you are really good at it, but you ought to take this week and try to get your feet shod. Get your shoes on your feet. Get your feet shod with the preparation. Prepare yourself this week to go back home with the gospel of peace and tell people about it. It doesn't do you good to take it in if you don't do anything with it. And so he says, preparation of the gospel of peace. Back in Exodus chapter 12, when God was bringing them out of Egypt at the Passover, He says, you put the blood on the door. That blood on the door is a picture of your salvation. And he says, when you, it's the Lord's Passover. He says, when you do the Passover, he says, get your staff in your hands and your shoes on your feet. Because God's going to bring you out. You know what that tells me? After you get saved, you need to move out. You need to do some things. You need to go some places with the gospel that God has given you. I don't care how old you are, I already told you. We already saw the example of some of the greatest missionaries that you'll ever, ever see are right here tonight with what you've done. And I know that many of you, others, probably invited people that didn't come. I'm not going to take that away from you. I commend you for that. I do. I'm sure that many of you others invited people to try to get them to come. You did your part. But I'm saying the great missionaries are here. If you keep that attitude as you grow, whoo, I'll tell you what, you'll do some things for the Lord. And I want to tell you something else. You guys and gals that somebody invited you, by the end of the week, you're going to know why they invited you. I know they invited you because you're their friend. But I'll tell you something else. They invited you because they love your soul. And they want to see you have what they have with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater love than that. There's no greater love than somebody loving you enough that want you to get here so you could hear the gospel that they heard. I mean, that's incredible. But that's what a missionary does. There's missionaries in here. Right now tonight. We got our own missionaries right here. We don't need a missions board. We don't need a fund to send you around the world. We don't need to teach another foreign language. We got our missionaries right here that understand that there's people, that there are friends in their culture and their world that need the Lord Jesus Christ. We gave you the Word of God, now you're doing something with it. You know, we're like sponges. I don't know if you, Mom ever makes you scrub the kitchen floor or not, but back home when I was a kid, I didn't do it either. But my mom did it. And I remember she had one of those floor mops that had a big sponge on it, and she would do it in the water, and then she would scrub the floor with it, and she would go so far. Then she'd go over to the sink or the bucket, and it had a thing on it where you brought it around and you squished it, and all of the water came out of it. You know why? Because that sponge will only hold so much, and then it won't pick up anymore. It just pushes all the dirt around. It needs to be wrung out so we can take some more in. And we can give you all the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible that you need. But if you don't do something with it and wring it out and give it to somebody else, pretty soon you get so full you're no good at anybody. You're like that sponge. So he says give attention to exhortation, to preaching the Word of God. You know, God has chosen each one of you to be his missionary. And God has given each one of us who are saved tonight a mission to take to the world. And your world may be the city you live in. Maybe the school you go to. Maybe the neighborhood that you live in. I know that many of you, you're incredible witnesses in your neighborhood. I know that you're always looking and you're a great witness to telling people in your schools. You're a missionary. You're a missionary. You know, the Bible talks about that God in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we are supposed to be able to give anybody who asks a reason for the hope that's within us. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says to Timothy, preach the word, put it out. He said, be instant. That means at any time, be ready to go. Have your mind prepared that when God gives you an opportunity, you're right there to take it. Don't become like so many Christians. You tie my shoe. Don't be like so many Christians. This is a servant's heart right here. I want you to see that. Thank you. No, the other one's good. What was I saying? I'm just seeing if you're listening. What was I saying? Very good, yeah. Whatever she just said was really better than I said it. You know what? God's called you to be a missionary. And God is going to take you and he's going to use you. And he wants you to take what he has given you and take it to others. That's what we're talking about here. He says, be instant. Be ready that when God opens the door, that you're right there. You don't want to be a Christian who goes back and says, man, I wish I'd have said that. Man, what an opportunity I had. I wished I'd have just thought quicker. No. Be instant. Whenever God opens the door, go through it. Jump on it. I mean, take every opportunity. You're going into school and your teacher says, "Hi, Bob, what's up?" Heaven's up. Boy, it's a great place. You got to go there. You're walking down the hall and your gym teacher says, "Hey, Bob, what's new?" Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 21. Oh, wonderful place. Be instant. Be instant. Then he says, in season and out of season. You know what that means? When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. There'll be some times in your life where you don't feel like witnessing. There'll be some times in your life where you don't feel like doing the Lord. Do it anyhow. Do it anyhow. Be instant. In season. Out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, I go back in history. Now, you look at those old boys that were great Philadelphian preachers. They were always instant and in season. I think of George Whitefield. Most of you don't know who George Whitefield was. He was a great preacher in the 13 colonies in the 1700s when this country was still formed. And he was a great preacher. And he was preaching one time, and he was staying at some folks, and they were lost people. And he was staying up in a room, and it was wintertime. And he had preached and preached and preached, and this couple never got saved. And he was getting ready to leave the service. The week of preaching was over, and he was up in his room, and he left and thanked them very kindly, and he was praying for them. And they went up in his room to clean up, and the windows were frosted over. And old George Whitefield had taken his ring and written in the icy frost of that window, and it had begun to melt and had begun to get bigger, and he wrote in there a quotation out of Luke where it said, "Yet thou lackest one thing." That couple went up there and read that. God's Holy Spirit convicted them. They fell on their knees and trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. He was instant. He was in season. He was out of season. I mean, it's incredible. You'll always want to be ready to put out the Word of God wherever you go. John Wesley one time was a great preacher in England. And he was preaching, going from town to town to town. And he would preach for maybe a week or so, and then he'd get on his horseback and he'd go maybe 80 miles to the next town. And he'd travel all night long on those old trails going from town to town. And one night he was down there, and a highwayman robber come up and put a blunderbuss on him, and he says, "I want all of your money." And he took every dime that he had. He took every dime that he had. And as the young man began to ride away, John Wesley said, "Young man, wait a minute." And that guy turned around, put his gun back on him. He says, "What do you want?" He said, "Young man, someday you may get tired of life of sin that you're leaving. And when you do, you remember the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Guy took around and went off. 4 years later, he's preaching in a town. That guy came up, the same guy that robbed him, and said, "Sir, Mr. Wesley, I've been looking for you for the last 4 years. He says, "I got saved about 6 months after I met you and robbed you on that road, and I've been looking for you to give the money back." He says, "I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven." He says, "The thing that just wore me out was the last thing you said to me, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sin." He was instant. He was in season. Can you recognize the seasons? Spring, summer, fall, winter? Sure we can. Right now, it's summer. In the spring it rains and it's kind of icky and cool. In the fall, it cools off. The leaves start to turn. In winter, it snows. You can discern the seasons around you, but we have a tough time understanding the seasons in our life when God puts an opportunity in our life. Be instant. Be instant. Understand the season you're in. God is going to put you in circumstances because He wants you not only to read the Word of God, He wants you to exhort being a missionary. He wants you to preach the Word of God. That's so important. That's so important. He talks about the fact that, as I said, be instant, in season, out of season. He says rebuke, reprove, exhort. He says long-suffering. You know why? Because sometimes it takes a long time for God to do what he's going to do. And that's just, he says exhort, exhort. Then the third thing he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and then he says to doctrine. At some point in your life, kids, you've got to learn the Bible. This is different than reading it. You read it to talk to the author and to build your relationship with God. The doctrine means to teach what the Bible teaches. And you will never be God's missionary till you understand not only what you believe, but why you believe it. And that's doctrine. I am so proud of you kids in this church, from the little guys all the way up to the older kids, of what you know with the Bible. I would honestly say it, I know people think I just say this to say it, I would put the majority of you guys and gals up against any preacher in this city, if not this country. Your moms and dads, without a doubt. I've watched your moms and dads get that doctrine and get that Bible down and get that thing, boy, and I'll tell you what, it has changed their life. But I'll tell you right now, the key to learning the Bible is not studying it. The key to learning the Bible is not reading it. The key to, for you learning the Bible is you loving the Bible. If you love it more than anything else on this planet, you will learn it. We like to be around things and people we love. And when you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and you fall in love with the Bible, it changes who you are. But you have to study it. I know you got to read it, but you got to study it. You got to learn your Bible. You got to know how your Bible goes together. You got to be able to put it together and take it apart. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. It's going to take work. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To be God's missionary, you have to know your Bible. You're going to come up against everything out there that's going to stop you. You're going to come up against every heresy, every bad teaching. You have to know not only what you believe, but why you believe it. And it starts this week. I'm not going to be able to teach you the Bible this week that you can get all that down, but I'm going to get you on the right path, on the right road, that you can begin that process. If you want to. God is going to change some of you this week. He really is. God is going to change some things in your life. I'll tell you counselors, God's going to change some things in your world. And I'll, you know what? You don't need, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't need to. Because I think you're great already. But see, he sees what I don't see. He sees what needs to change in your life. But I wouldn't trade you for the world. He's going to change me this week. I know I need to change. He's going to change me this week. But he's walking down these aisles and he's looking at you young men and you young ladies. Just noticed all the girls are on this side and all the guys are on this side. Oh, not, excuse me, up here. But is that some Bible thing, you know? Women keep silent in the church? I don't know. I look at you. He's going to change you. He's coming after you. He loves you. And he wants you to leave this week understanding what it means, not only for you that be have the mission that he has for you, but be the missionary to fulfill it. And I'm going to help you with it. Your counselor is going to help you with it. Zach's going to help you with it. Jenny's going to help you with it. Joe's going to help you with it. Danny's going to help you with it. Everybody is here for you. This is your week. And the Bible, your Bible is likened to a sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6. A sword does some things. A sword, you can protect yourself with it. It's a defensive weapon. It's also an offensive weapon. And in the Bible, your Bible is likened to a sword. It's your weapon. And the Bible says that you and I are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're missionaries, but we're soldiers. And a soldier has to be able to put up with a lot of hard things. I was in the military. Many of you guys were. John was in the Marine Corps. Many of you were in the military. You know exactly what we're talking about. It can be a tough time. You can find yourself in tough situations. And they teach you from the time you're in the military to the time you're out that you have to rely on your weapon. A soldier in combat is worthless without his weapon. They used to make you give it a name like it was your best friend. If you dropped it, you slept with it. You slept with it many times because they wanted you to become so familiar with that weapon that it was part of you. You went through the manual of arms that you put that weapon in all kinds of port positions and on your shoulder, left shoulder arm, right shoulder arm, all those things to get you familiar with that weapon. They would come to the point, I was in the military in 1969 and 1970. That's before all of you were born. And how many years ago was that? Somebody help me out here. 38. Boy, I wish it was that short. 48 years ago. 48 years ago. I still remember. When I got in basic, my first weapon was an M14. I can stand here right now, I can close my eyes, and I can break that weapon down into three groups. Receiver group, stock group, trigger housing group. And you tear that thing down, you pull the trigger housing out, the barrel would come out, you'd have three groups laying there. Stock group, receiver group, trigger housing group. Later on, we moved up to M16s. Upper housing, lower housing, bolt carrier. Three parts. How many times in the middle of the night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, when we just got to sleep and we're in a deep sleep, that drill sergeant would come in there and he'd turn on the lights and he'd say, "Everybody up and grab your weapon!" We'd line up that squad bay on both sides with our M14s or M16s. He'd walk down the end of that thing and he'd just let your eyes get used to the light and get to the point where you could see after being sleeping for 3 or 4 hours. And then he'd say, "All right, tear those weapons apart," and he'd turn that light out. And you could hear him walk down that bay, squad bay. And you could hear those weapons coming apart. People spring going everywhere. I mean, they're taking those weapons apart. And he'd get down to the end of that thing, and he'd turn the lights back on, and he'd look down there, and he'd make sure you had every piece of that weapon correctly broken down. Then he'd walk back up. He'd look it on both sides. God help you if you did not have the pieces in the correct order. Then he'd go back to that light switch. He'd turn it off. That's now that your eyes got used to it. And he'd say, "Put them back together." And you'd go back that squad bay. And he'd be taking those things and putting them back together. When he got down here and turned the light back on, you'd stand at attention with your weapon out there. And if it was put together correctly, when you pull the trigger, it would go click. If it wasn't put correctly, it wouldn't go click. And he'd walk down there and you'd hear click, 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 click. Fonging. That guy's in trouble. You know why he did that? You get out there in combat someplace in the middle of the night, your weapon jams. It won't fire. What do you think you're going to do? Turn the lights on? Get a flashlight out? You get a bullet between the eyes. You got to be so familiar with that weapon that you can take it apart blindfolded. You can take it apart in the dark. You know every part by every feeling it and touching it. You know where it goes in, how it goes back together, and to put that thing back if you're blindfolded in the middle of the night. That's your weapon. You're, as a soldier, you're worthless without it. And you're to endure a hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, without that Bible, without the doctrine, without you knowing it, in missions, as a missionary, you're worthless. That Bible has an inspirational application, a historical application, and a doctrinal application. You ought to be able to close your eyes, turn the lights out, and take that Bible apart and put it back together just like they did down at Fort Bragg with the M14s and the M16s. You ought to be able to rightly divide the Bible, take it apart, identify the pieces, receiver group, stock group, trigger group, doctrinal, inspirationally, historical. Lay it out. It isn't just what you believe. It's why do you believe it? You're going to leave this camp and you're going to be faced with some of the most godless stuff on this planet to stop you. And if you don't determine and purpose in your heart that you're going to read it, preach it, but you're going to know it, you'll be out before you get in. You got to know the Bible, kids. And you're in the right place to learn it. Your moms and dad learned it. Your moms and dad know that book for the most part inside out. They amaze me. They can get into any situation that I put them in. I can give them to any problem person, any this, any that. Some of your moms and some of your dads to the place where they're phenomenal with it. But they only got that way because they studied to show thyself approved as a workman. And they learned how to rightly divide the word of truth. I can't do that for you this week, but I can get you on the road that you can get there as God's missionary to fulfill God's mission. God's got some things that he wants to do with you. He really does. This is why I'm doing the sword drills. That's the only reason. This is why I went to the expense and the time. I got to tell you, my wife's the one who got the Vera Bradley stuff. I didn't do that. She thought it was her idea. I wanted something for the girls. But I'll tell you, so far, nobody's taken Vera Bradley. All the girls are taking camouflage packs. I'm sure you all will. They'll all be gone by the end of the week. But that's why we're doing it. We're doing it because I want you to see how important that Bible is. I'm not doing it to reward you. I'm doing it to have fun. But I told you that these sword drills are going to be the beginning of you being able to take that weapon apart. Understand where you're at doctrinally, historically, and inspirationally. I want you to be the best. Your moms and dads are the best. Your counselors are the best. Your counselors here, I would put them up against anybody, anytime, any place. They work with me shoulder to shoulder. I got some women that are junkyard dogs that will chew you apart. I got some guys who know the Bible and can preach it as good as any preacher ever heard. I got women that can preach the Bible as anybody ever heard. They'll out-preach a man if I turn them loose. They're like a pit bull. I was out there walking last night down a dark road. The power behind my house was all off in the street behind me there, Pershing. And I was walking down there, and I heard something coming my way, and I looked around, and this gigantic pit bull was coming right for me. And I just stopped there and stood there. He stopped and sat right down and looked at me. I looked at him, and we had a conversation, and he left. But I got to tell you the truth. When that pit bull was coming at me, I thought of some of you women. I did. I'm sorry. That's a compliment. You're a pit bull and a half, I'm telling you. I thought of some of you. I've watched you. Gnarly, man, gnarly. Well, our little border collie last night, I don't know what's wrong with her, but I went down to get her out this morning, and she was out of her pen, and she had diarrhea really bad. She wasn't feeling real good, and she was just laying there on the floor. And I got her, and I got looking at the pen, and she had opened the pen somehow and got out. And then when I looked at the pen before I came back over, it's a wire cage. She had chewed the wire and bit the cage in half, and it broke the steel bands off of it. I didn't even go into town on it. Yeah. I thought of some of you. I thought of some of you. That's a compliment. You don't know it, but the counselors that you have are probably the best in the world when it comes to that Bible. But they've dedicated themselves. I'm on a mission this week for you. They're on a mission this week for you. You can confess to them and tell them and confide in them anything what God is doing in your life. They're here to help you. We're all here to help you because we got some things we want to get done this week. We want you to understand mission. We want you to understand what God wants you to do. I want you to go out of here this week realizing that God saved you for a purpose. He's put you in a place and brought you to camp that you can define that purpose and get that mission and become a missionary. And maybe never leave Kansas City. Never move out of your neighborhood. Forget this idea of going to Africa or Algeria or Ubango or wherever. Forget that. Think about what God has saved you for in your own Jerusalem, in your own neighborhood, in your own school, with your own friends. And as we saw tonight, what a tremendous testimony. There's some missionaries here. Now, this week, three things are going to happen. I want to tell you about it. I want to prepare you for it. Number one, some of you are going to get saved this week. Some of you came here in camp, and you're going to leave here understanding that Christ died for you on the cross. Some of you are here tonight, and if you died right now, you do not know for sure you'd go to heaven. And throughout the course of this week, God's going to come down and do some things in your life, and he's going to show you what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. And maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow night, but maybe Wednesday or maybe Thursday or whenever, you're going to come to the point where you realize that you are a sinner and you need to have your sins forgiven by a man who died on the cross and became your Savior. And that's going to happen to some of you this week. I'll tell you the second thing that's going to happen. Some of you that are already saved, you're going to get plugged in. This is going to be your year. This is going to be your time. This is going to be your year where God is going to do that magic work in your life where you come out of here and say, I'm done with it. I'm done with the world. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to get with my counselors. I'm going to get with my leaders. I'm going to get with my youth pastor. I'm going to get with everybody in my world. I'm going to give my life to the Lord, and you're going to stay with it. And then the third thing that's going to happen to some of you who are already dialed in and plugged in, you're going to leave here better than when you came. You're already doing a good job, but you're going to be better. There's a value in being here with the world outside and just letting the Holy Spirit of God deal with you and be with you and help you be all that he wants you to be. So that's what's going to happen this week. And I wanted to talk to you tonight just about three things that will make you everything that God wants you to be. Three simple things. He says, till I come, be in attendance to reading, exhortation, and the doctrine. Read the Bible, preach the Bible, and know the Bible. And this is the road that we're on tonight. That this is the place. Don't let any time waste in your life. Focus on it. Focus on your attitude. Realize why God brought you here. Let us help you. Let your counselors help you. Let us be here for you. I want this to be the greatest week of your life. I'm not going to preach for hours and hours and hours. I'm going to have fun with you, but I'm going to give you a short jab right to the point. You're going to get it all day long, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit of God do what he does best. But remember those three things. Remember what's going to happen. Some of you are going to get saved. You're going to find Christ as your own Savior. Some of you who are saved, you're going to plug in. You're going to become what God wants you to be. And some of you who are already plugged in, you're going to become better. You're going to become more committed to what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for these good kids. I thank you for the missionaries that are already here, for the great host of kids that stood up because somebody cared enough about them. And Lord, I pray for the kids in this camp that are lost without Christ. Lord, I love them. And Lord, I'd do anything in the world for them to find Christ. But Lord, that has to be between you and them. Just help my preaching to be on target. Just help this camp to be on target. Help the counselors to be sharp and to be attentive to what is going on with these kids. Help every one of us to stay focused and to stay frosty, Lord, when it comes to the things of God. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, for his sake, we ask it. Amen.